Thank you very much. Our third reading comes from page 100 of the big book, Alcoholics Anonymous. Both you and the new man must walk day by day in the path of spiritual progress. If you persist, remarkable things will happen. When we look back, we realize that the things which came to us when we put ourselves in God's hands were better than anything we could have planned. Follow the dictates of a higher power, and you will presently live in a new world, and a new and wonderful world, no matter what your present circumstances. Chapter 7, Working with Others. I would now like to introduce Don L. from Bellingham, Washington, to share for 15 minutes. Thank you, Don.
Okay, I'm unmuted. Hi, I'm Don. I'm an alcoholic. I want to thank Damien for the invitation to participate in this wonderful event. I want to thank Rick and Darren, who are dear, dear friends of mine, for doing such an outstanding knock-it-out-of-the-park job on Step 12. I want to thank my dear friend Randy for chairing the meeting. You know, I have a piece of greenstone that I wear around my neck. I never take it off. And Randy blessed that piece of greenstone for me. So in a creepy sort of way, Randy, you're with me all the time. And I'm so honored and excited to talk about the 12th step, you know, and the previous reading said it's the thing that will work when all of their activities fail. And you know, that how true is that for me? See, I'm a product of the 12th step. If I have to have anything to do with the solution of getting sober in Alcoholics Anonymous, I'm not going to make it. You see, I arrive in Alcoholics Anonymous like many of us, right? My scorecard reads zero. My tank is on empty. There's no, if the raw material has anything to do with a successful outcome, I'm dead. I'm dying from alcoholism. One of the dumbest things we've ever said to the alcoholic in AA is we don't drink no matter what. For God's sakes, if I could do that, I wouldn't need you. Do you know how many years I tried to not drink no matter what? And all I ended up doing was being drunk every night and having the misfortune of tearing apart the life of anybody that stood too close to me for too long. I'm a real alcoholic. I'm not a moderate drinker. I'm not a social drinker. I'm the guy that thinks the bad idea is the good idea. I'm the guy that has a positive genius for getting tight at exactly the wrong moment. I'm a slave to King Alcohol. And I have a sneaking suspicion before I come to Alcoholics Anonymous, I'm going to die from the drink. I don't want to die from the drink. But boy, haven't I tried everything I can possibly think of before I come to Alcoholics Anonymous, drink down, to walk away from it, and to stay separated. And I can't do it. And I can't do it because when you separate me from alcohol, I go insane in my own mind, in my own skin, and it's confusing and it's baffling because you've been telling me my whole damn adult life that if I just quit drinking, if I just stopped doing it, all my dreams would come true. I'd be so happy. And you know what? I want to believe you, so I quit. And everybody's delighted when I quit. Everybody's thrilled. Isn't this wonderful? Oh, you're doing so well. Oh, you're going to work 5 days a week. We're so proud of you. Everybody's delighted but me. I can't stand the way I feel when I'm sober. It's embarrassing and it's shameful. When you're going to jail and losing jobs and blowing up relationships and hurting your mother and doing all the things that we do on a continuous loop, you can't tell them the deep, dark secret that every alcoholic has. I know what it looks like, but you don't understand. I hate the way I feel when I'm sober. I can't take the pain. And I feel like I've lost my mind. And I'm haunted. I'm haunted by the memory of a time when I was a young man and I didn't have to be drunk just to be on the planet, just to take a deep breath. And I come to Alcoholics Anonymous in that state, hopeless, helpless, hapless. No answer, no safe direction. And I'm 12-step in a meeting hall of Alcoholics Anonymous called the Simi Valley Alano Club in Southern California, and my life changed. And it changed because on my second night in AA, they assigned me a sponsor. And a sponsor isn't a dictator. A sponsor isn't somebody that's going to run your life. A sponsor is a pathfinder. A sponsor is somebody who's walked before you. A sponsor or somebody that understands how this thing works. A sponsor is somebody who's had a change of heart, attitude, and spiritual nature significant enough that there's nothing more important in his life that he will never rest until everybody has the opportunity to have a shot at what God has laid at his feet. that's who my sponsor was. He was on duty that night that I walked into Alcoholics Anonymous. And without my permission, he 12-stepped me and started saving my life, although I didn't know it. And here's the funny thing. My second night in Alcoholics Anonymous, I had everything delivered into my life that I would need to stay sober for the rest of my life. Now, I got sober September 16, 1991. I'm 28 years sober. And I don't know what that means to anybody else, but to me it means I'm one of the lucky ones. I've been blessed. But I'm not a guy that will tell you, I don't know why I'm sober today. Like God has some bizarre, evil roulette wheel that he spins, and some of us make it, and some of us die a horrible alcoholic death. I'm a guy that can tell you specifically, directly, step by step, why I'm sober today. I can show you the hand of God working through other members of Alcoholics Anonymous, interceding on my behalf over and over and over again. But as my dear friend Bob B says, life is lived forward and understood backward. So it's easy for me to see these things in the rearview mirror, not so much in the moment, not so much today. And that's why we're so big on faith. Because I'm an alcoholic, I have the kind of head, yeah, it's worked out till now, but how about tomorrow? Faith is such an important ingredient in this. And I didn't have faith when I got here, and I didn't have belief when I got here. But you know what I did is I stole yours. Because I surrounded by men and women that looked me in the eye and weren't afraid to say this was the best darn thing that ever happened to them, and I'd be a fool to miss it. So my sponsor, second night in Alcoholics Anonymous, because I had a sponsor, I started receiving the things you need to stay sober for the rest of your life. For example, I had a sponsor who had a home group. I found out now I had a home group. I didn't know what that meant, but I was to find out shortly. I had a sponsor who was active in Alcoholics Anonymous, went to a lot of meetings, had commitments or little jobs at every meeting attended. So suddenly, I had little jobs at every meeting I attended. I had a sponsor that had a whole plethora of friends. He was an active, good member in AA, so he knew a lot of people, and he had these deep, meaningful relationships in his life. So suddenly, I had deep, meaningful relationships in my life. I didn't understand that when you get a sponsor, you get all of his friends. Now, if you don't understand that, you may not like it. It may feel like, great, now I've got a lot of people in my business. But what I was able to recognize is suddenly, more than my sponsor, I had this whole strange group of people that were his friends that were taking an interest in me. Isn't that something? You're at the low point of your existence, and you understand that something big is going to happen in your life. There's not anything much bigger then when you walk into active AA and you get a sponsor and you get all his friends and they circle you and they keep the wolves out until God can work his magic. And it was amazing the protectiveness that they put around me, the interest that they showed in me, the conveyor belt of love and interest that came to me on a daily basis in Alcoholics Anonymous. I was taught by the masters what 12 self-work is really about. It's about spiritual love. It's about keeping the newcomer company until they can have the psychic change. And when somebody has that psychic change, you don't have to tell them, hey, go work with others now. You can't stop them. You can't get in the way of somebody that this thing has happened for. They will not rest until everybody has their opportunity to experience what they have experienced. And that's been my story. But I didn't come to it easily. I'm not a guy that came to AA and fell in love. I'm not a guy that came to AA and went, oh, I'm home. See, I have alcoholism. And so my alcoholism is keeping pace with my recovery in Alcoholics Anonymous. But my sponsor is taking me through the steps, and they're starting to change my mind, they're starting to change my heart, and they're starting to change my life. And I start to have my own faith, and I start to have my own belief. And I start to have a strength that's not of myself, but is flowing in my life. And I recognize that something powerful is happening, though I don't have the vocabulary to describe it, because who can describe the grace and power of God? And so I'm moving forward in my sobriety, and now I'm 6 months sober, and I'm back in the game, and I'm broken in half. I've got the good newcomer resume. You know, I got warrants for my arrest in 2 counties. I live at my sister's house because that's where the tough go. When the going gets tough, you go home. I've got $80,000 I owe the Internal Revenue Service. I haven't worked in a year when I got sober. You know, everybody is doing better than me, in my opinion, in Alcoholics Anonymous. But that's okay, too, because your sponsor will take whatever you bring in and he'll put it in his service in Alcoholics Anonymous. And he taught me that. I remember talking to him about the IRS and feeling terrible about all that money I owed. And he'd go, yeah, it's a lot of money, and but people have owed more, and that's not your big problem today. But he put it into service in Alcoholics Anonymous. For the next couple of years, if any newcomer complained about the $1,000 he owed the IRS, he'd say, hold that thought. He'd call me over and go, Don, tell this guy how much you owe the IRS. And I'd tell that poor newcomer, yeah, I owe the IRS $80,000. The newcomer would go, Jesus. And I'd make him feel better. I'd be of service with my horrible shame. And those are the funny things about Alcoholics Anonymous. The worse you are, the better we like you. I didn't understand that when I got here. I mean, my first sponsor, when he found out I wasn't working, you know, most people, when they find out you're unemployed, they say, oh, I'm sorry. I'm sure you'll find work soon. My sponsor said, oh, that's great. Because what he knew is nothing between me and sobriety. And so they loved me back to health. And they taught me how to be an AA member. They taught me how to go to meetings. But I want to be very clear about this. They used the spiritual and we as a society in what is best about Alcoholics Anonymous and 12-step work. We use the age-old spiritual principle of invitation. Invitation is kind. Invitation is loving, and invitation is not dominating. We simply lay out a spiritual banquet, and we invite you to partake. And my sponsor used that to teach me how to be an AA member. He never told me to do anything. He never yelled at me. He never dominated me. He would say things to me like, gee, Don, I got to do setup tomorrow night. I got to tell you, could you show up early? I could really use your help. And I think, wow, my sponsor needs my help. Isn't that something? Well, sure, sponsor, anything for you. And then he'd come to me, and I'm 4 months sober, and he'd say, hey, Don, we're starting an ad hoc committee to study the problems we're having with corrections. You know, you seem like a pretty bright guy to me. We could really use your input. And I think, wow, he could really use my input. Looks like I got the Alcoholics Anonymous just in the nick of time. And he would bring me into the fold, but he left me some dignity. He left me some self-esteem of the right kind. He made me feel valued and needed in Alcoholics Anonymous. Everybody wants to feel needed. Everybody wants to feel purposeful. Some of the ways that I think the best 12-step examples that we have as a society among ourselves are based on simple manners. That we see each other, that we recognize each other, we say thank you, we invite, we help each other, we move. I'll tell you, one of the best descriptions of AA that I ever heard came from my older sister, who is not an alcoholic and not a member of Alcoholics Anonymous, obviously. And we were talking one night, and she said a couple of things that struck me as really powerful. One, she called me to me about something going on in her life. And at the end of that, she said, isn't it funny that you turned out to be the stable one in the family? And it is hilarious. And then she said to me, I wish I was an alcoholic. And I said, oh, no, you don't. And she goes, no, not the going to jail, crashing your car, being a big fat loser part. What you have now. And I said to her, I said, what do I have now? Because I wanted her to hear it from the non-alcoholic. And she said, well, she talked about when she went to college, she made these friendships with women. And now, 20 years later, they are still the best of friends, but they've moved on. They've gotten married, they've had families. And she said, you know, for us to get together once every couple of months, maybe on a Sunday afternoon for a few hours, it's a military operation, an endless stream of phone calls and emails and text messages. And if we really pay attention, we can maybe get together for a short period of time, once every 3 months, and it's glorious. It's so wonderful. And at the end of it, we look at each other and we say, oh my goodness, we have to do more of this. But you and your membership in AA, all you have to do is go back to the same place you're at the week before, and all the people you love are there. And I never thought of AA like that, and how powerful and how simple and how divine an experience we have simply by being members, that we show up at the same place we were at the week before, and the people we love are waiting for us with open arms. I started sponsoring men at 6 months sober. I didn't want to do that. I felt inadequate. I don't have a car. I'm hopelessly in debt. I live at my sister's. If you want what I have and are willing to go to any length to get it, you know. But I'll tell you what I found out is the alcoholic isn't worried about that. You know what he's worried about? How the hell does a guy like you not drink whiskey anymore? And that's what intrigues the alcoholic. The simple principle of identification, if he did it, maybe I can do it. And I started sponsoring men, and it's the bright spot of my life. And I've been doing that for my entire sobriety since I was 6 months sober. I've never been without sponsees. I will get off of this wonderful Zoom application, and I will return phone calls for probably the next hour, hour and a half. And that's not a testament to me. That's a testament to our society that we are connected. We are all links in the chain. And I'll tell you what, I'll tell you a quick story about sponsorship and why I think it's so important that we sponsor people. I was 10 years sober and I got really sick. And I'm not talking about for a week or a month. I was sick for a year. And it got worse and worse and worse. And I got to tell you, I didn't dig it. And I wasn't spiritual at the end of that. And I was full of self-pity and doubt. One day I went to work and all hell broke loose. I made it like 20 minutes of work and I went home and I'm laying in bed in the worst pain I've ever been in my life. And I'm feeling so sorry for myself. The self-pity is dripping off of the walls when my phone rang. And I look down and it's a guy I sponsor. And I think, not now, not now. But I got good training in AA, so I take the call. And I pick it up and I say, what's going on, buddy? And he asks me how I'm feeling, because everybody knows I'm sick. And usually I'd lie. But this time I told the truth. I said, how am I feeling? I'm in the worst pain I've ever been in. I'm scared. I'm afraid I'm going to die. And I feel like God deserted me. And my whole life is crap. And I can't believe God's doing this to me after everything I've done in AA. And I feel so alone and nobody understands. And my wife's tired of being married to the sick guy. You want to know how I'm doing? That's how I'm doing. And he pauses and he says, wow, Spunk, so sorry. Listen, I met this girl. And that's why we sponsor new people. Because they just don't care about us. And it's the most wonderful gift you can have in your life. The beautiful, pure selfishness, self-centeredness of the newcomer coming into your life is a spiritual wedge between your constant thought of self. Baby bird, feed me, feed me. How many times have I been diverted from my obsessive thoughts of myself by the innocence and need of the newcomer, where I am amazingly set on my feet afterwards? I'm running out of time, but I want to tell you something. Why we do this? Why are we online? Why are we making this effort? Why did the people do what they did to put this thing together? What is behind all of this? Well, why we're here online and we're talking and we're thinking about our good life, sitting in our warm homes. There's a man or a woman at this very moment, and they are you. They may not look like you. They may be older than you or younger than you, fatter than you or thinner than you, richer than you or poorer than you, but they are you. And in their hand is a glass or a bottle, and they are raising it to their lips. And while they are raising it to their lips, they said, please, God, not again. Please, I don't want to live this way. Please, I don't want to do this anymore. God, help me. But they take the drink anyway because they are powerless over alcohol and they've lost the power of choice. And their life is dripping out of their sleeves, and they are going to die, and they know it. And they are coming to Alcoholics Anonymous. Isn't that something? They don't even know it yet. We know it before they do, because we are them. And we know they're finishing up their story. They're running out that last move. They're cutting out that last relative. They're blowing up that last job. They are in the process of wearing themselves out and cornering themselves with their alcoholism. And if they're lucky, and God is kind, which I believe he is, they will find themselves in the meaning of Alcoholics Anonymous the way I found myself. Hopeless, hapless, helpless, broken in half. And my prayer for them is that we are there and we are full of memory of how we arrived in Alcoholics Anonymous. That we pause before we go to our respective home groups. And before we get out of our cars, we say a simple prayer that I say when I attend AA. God, I'm at AA right now, and I got the world hanging all over me. I got my money problems, my job problems, my wife problems, and I'm thinking about me. Please remove my self-centeredness. Give me eyes to see and a heart to feel. Let me walk into this meeting for 5 minutes, God, just 5 minutes. Let me remember what Alcoholics Anonymous is really about. And now I can leave that selfishness in the front seat of that vehicle, and I can walk into an AA meeting and do what we're supposed to do, to carry the message to the alcoholic that still suffers. An AA meeting hall is not a social club. It's not a place where I talk about my latest fishing trip, my business deal, or what's good on Netflix. It's a place where lives are saved. We are Alcoholics Anonymous. We only have one job. We are in the saving lives business. May we never forget that. God bless. I hope you stay sober forever.
Beautiful. Thank you, Don.